Hey everyone, welcome back to the Four Pillar Effect. This is Cortez Richardson. Just want to say thank you to everyone who has been showing high levels of engagement on the Four Pillar Effect community page in Facebook. Anyone who wants to be a part of that page and better your lives and showcase what we are teaching here at the Four Pillar Effect and how it's helping you change your lives as far as health, wealth, love, and happiness, I would greatly appreciate it. And for my appreciation, I give away every month prizes up to $200 and $300. There will only be a maximum of 4 winners. For January, there was 2. So those people got a pretty nice chunk of change just for being involved in the community and doing things that help themselves. So instead of me paying advertising to Facebook, Instagram, or anyone else for that matter to broadcast my content, I would rather pay the people who are involved in the community and engaging by listening, paying attention, and implementing the things that we teach here at the Four Pillar Effect. If you want to learn how to win prizes, then stay tuned to the podcast. But instead of me making you wait, I'll go ahead and tell you that the month of February is going to be about nutrition. So post pictures, videos, anything that you want to the Four Pillar Effect community. Or you can post on Instagram and just put at the Four Pillar Effect. It's all spelled out. F-O-U-R, effect is with an E. And tag us and we will greatly appreciate it and keep track of all of your engagement. And hopefully you'll win. It's very easy. Thank you so much for listening. Let's jump into the show. Welcome back to the Four Pillar Effect. I really appreciate everybody who's been encouraging me to keep pushing forward with this first quarter of the year being the health topic. I have a very special guest. His name is Chris Roy. He's actually been in the health and fitness industry for over 10 years now, right?
Yep. We're getting up there.
All right. Cool. So can you tell us exactly like what you do and what your specialty is?
Yeah. So I guess starting out, I was just kind of like your run-of-the-mill personal trainer. The fitness was really the only thing in my life that I was ever really passionate about, and it really kind of bit me hard in high school. When I was a sophomore in high school, 15 years old, I was very unhealthy as a kid, and I went in for a physical my sophomore year to play basketball. And they told me I had high blood pressure at 15 years old, and it kind of scared me. And went cold turkey. Like the very next day, man, just started kind of getting my life together and became really passionate about it. So right out of the gate, right out of high school, graduated and became a certified personal trainer. Got like the NASM certification.
Okay.
And then ever since, man, just been, you know, continuing my education. I've been across the country, learning from some of the best in the business and, you know, just getting as much knowledge as possible. I definitely in the last few years have, I would say, started to migrate more towards the strength and conditioning side of things. You know, just focusing on getting people stronger, and just overall healthier. And I still work with all kinds of people, but me, myself, and that's generally what I've started migrating towards, is what I enjoy doing more. But I still work with all kinds, you know, whatever goals they have, you name it, I've worked with them. So,
okay. So why do you think strength is so important?
Like,
since that's what you're kind of focusing on.
So I've just come to find that really, regardless of what someone's goal is, or where they're headed, in my opinion, I think strength lays the foundation for everything else. You know, I've had people that, you know, have come to me wanting to lose weight and, you know, we've lost weight. I've had a guy that he's lost, I think, 24 pounds. And I've done nothing but focus on strength work and trying to build some muscle with him. You know, I think building muscle is probably one of the most underutilized fat burning tools out there. Just because, you know, the more muscle you have, the more lean mass you can have on your body, the higher metabolism is going to be. And a lot of people, they get scared when I say stuff like that, you know, especially the female crowd, you know, when I say build muscle and stuff, they automatically just assume it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know. they think they're gonna, you know, when I say build muscle, I think they're gonna get huge, you know. Not true at all. It's just, you know, laying a foundation of strength, it allows you to really pursue any other fitness endeavor you may have. So and really, especially with older people as well. I mean, I work with a lot of older people, and you know, I think just about everybody has, you know, known someone either personally or through someone else who's had like an older relative who's fallen and you know, seriously injured themselves. And that's because they just don't have the strength to balance, to coordinate anymore. And if they had, you know, had a background of strength training at some point in their lives, you know, that could have been prevented. So in my opinion, there's really no avenue or goal where strength doesn't make you better or help you in some way, shape, or form. So that's where I start with everybody is just strength. We start on getting stronger and take it from there.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I had another guest on the show like a day or two ago, and he said the same thing, like that strength is the foundation. And he said he's been doing this for a little over 20 years. Like both of y'all have longevity. So, and it's crazy because recently that's what I've been focusing on. I mean, I've always been the kind of like muscular endurance. I've never been weak. Like, I've always been able to deadlift well over twice my body weight and bench, you know, over my body weight for reps and stuff like that. But, and even do, you know, certain gymnastics movements and, you know, I still maintain flexibility. But as far as the strength component, I look at that and I say, I still feel like I'm not strong enough. Like, so yeah. To me, I just think that I definitely agree with y'all. Strength is very, very important because when you're not strong and you, first of all, it builds confidence.
And exactly.
Like when you're strong and you know that you're strong, you just walk with the confidence. Not like you're trying to intimidate anybody or anything like that, but you just feel better about yourself. Yep. So I find that when people do go to the gym, even if they're not like at their goal weight or they don't look any different, when they get stronger, that is like the first thing that sparks them to be like, oh my God, I want to get even stronger. So it's crazy how, you know, everybody's on the same page with the strength aspect. But one thing that I feel like is just as important is mobility and flexibility, because I've gotten hurt a couple of times and had to take off, and then you lose strength. So it's like, if you don't prevent it, then you're going to lose it, which makes you feel even worse.
Absolutely.
So what is, like, you say you focus on strength with people who you first start out with. What is something like that you do as far as like the stretching, or you really don't focus on that?
So it all depends, you know. I kind of take a somewhat of an individual approach to everybody I come across. But, you know, if we were going to speak in general terms, you know, someone coming in, you know, and I feel like, you know, maybe just like a basic squat is probably one of the harder ones for a lot of people to do correctly. Due to lack of mobility, you know, most people today, you know, they're sitting, you know, they're sitting 8 hours at work, they're sitting in the car, they're sitting on the couch when they get home,
right?
You know, and their hips just get super tight and their lower backs are always bothering them. So if we're speaking general terms, when it comes to the mobility aspect, you know, when they come into my gym, if it's the first time me seeing them, you know, I take them through some sort of an assessment process. You know, it's kind of like a warm up, you know, just doing some general movements, some body weight squats and stuff like that. So I can take a look at them. And if I can see that they got some issues, then we don't just jump like right under the bar. You know, if we're using the squat example, you know, we'll attack the body weight squat first. I might even put like a bench or like a lower box underneath them and start them with like just body weight box squats to get them used to it and kind of just almost teach the squat from the ground up, kind of teach it in reverse, get them seated first so they can feel that bottom position where they're supposed to be, and then kind of teach it going from there. But, you know, there's all kinds of regressions you can do. You know, I honestly don't do a ton of like static stretching with people in the beginning. You know, I feel like that's more reserved for like after your workout's over. But I do like a lot of, you know, trying to promote mobility through movement itself instead of just, you know, static stretching.
Definitely.
We do a lot of, you know, dynamic flows. You know, there's exercises you can do that promote mobility and you know, gaining proper movement. And we really kind of, I want to say, kind of cheat more towards those kind of movements because, you know, I only get people, you know, 45, 50 minutes out of the time, you know, and if people are coming to me, they want to lose weight or they want to get stronger, they want to build muscle. It's tough for me to, you know, I want them to feel like they're on their path to achieving their goal, you know, and they're not going to necessarily feel that if I just have them come to the gym and they're stretching for forever. So I try to do things where you get the most bang for your buck. So we can do these things and maybe promote mobility and stuff while we're doing other things. So we really try to cheat towards movements and exercises that kind of do that for us, give us the most for our time. But I'm big into the dynamic movement, dynamic flows, stuff like that to start to get that ready. And just really, I mean, it's all individual, you know, but there's always regressions you take. And until a person can you know, do a proper push up or a proper body weight squat, they can hinge properly without load, then they're not getting under a bar yet. Cause that's just that they'll just hurt themselves if they can't move. So,
right. And something that you said that is should be an eye opener for a lot of people is, first of all, you got to get moving, because when you actually move, I don't know if anybody's paid attention to this, but anybody who's listening, if you've been like just pretty much lounging around for a whole day, if you just go for like a walk, do a couple of squats and like even some large arm circles, your body, you're going to feel like you can move better.
Oh, absolutely.
So one thing that you did say that really is important for people to know is you get mobility through movement, but it does not mean that you should not, you know, stretch and things like you say. And I'm definitely on the same page with you when you say that static stretching is something that is reserved for after workout. And I to an extent, I say that because if someone's mobility is really bad, I would probably say static stretching for 30 to 45 seconds before workout would help increase mobility for the movement that they're about to do. But overall, yeah, definitely after a workout, static stretching is best.
Yeah, I'd agree with that for sure. Like I got stubborn ankles, man. And before I squat, I'll do like a static ankle stretch. I'll stretch my calves for like 30 seconds or so before I squat just to give me that little extra, you know, mobility in the ankle joint there. But yeah, I'm not telling people, you know, okay, lay down, hold this for 2 minutes and then switch sides.
And lift weights. Like, no.
Yeah. That's kind of like more like what I was talking about. But, okay. I totally agree with you, man. You know, and I've noticed that not only just the day itself, but even the following day. Like I've learned a couple of years ago, you know, I usually squatted on Monday. Because, you know, it's like my biggest day of the week. I wanted to get fresh, you know, everybody, Monday's International Chest Day for everybody, I wanted to crush my legs Monday, you know, fresh out of the gate, get the week started right.
Right.
But I was noticing just like, I always felt like crap, man. Like when I would go to squat, I'd feel like crap. I'm like, why? Like, it's usually like come Wednesday, Thursday, my body really feels good. And like, I don't understand why Monday, you know, I'm coming off a fresh weekend of rest. I should feel good. But then I started looking, it's like, well, what am I doing on Sunday? Oh, I'm sitting and watching football for 6 hours, like sitting on the couch. And it would affect me the next day, you know, just lounging on the couch, not moving, sitting in that same position for so long, and then go try to get under bar the next day. It just felt like crap. And so I stopped doing it, man, and just started using Sundays, you know, going for walks. You know, even if you're just standing up every so often, you know, even get up and just stand for every 15 minutes or so, just for a couple of minutes, it makes a huge difference.
Right. Exactly. And I don't think people notice that. And this is something that I'm just trying to bring awareness to, is just being mobile. Like not sitting so much. I feel like everything is just like converting us into the comfortability of sitting longer and longer and longer. Like the availability of things nowadays, like, and I don't have anything against people, you know, and their hustle or whatever they do, but just like certain apps that they have that deliver all this food to people, it's like people right. can't even go get food. Like you're not even, you don't even walk outside to get food. You walk to the door and right back. Like, and I feel like people are just they know it, but they're not aware. They're not aware that what's going on with their body. Like you were saying, like, dude, if you go one day and you just let all this blood pool up and you let all your ligaments and tendons just kind of stay locked in a certain position for hours on end, then it does cause mobility issues.
For sure.
It's not like we're, I'm trying to bring it aware to people where they're saying, oh, well, I need to be doing yoga every single day. No, it's like, just get up, walk, you know, do a little bit of moving every hour to 2 hours. That way this doesn't happen to you. And my thing is longevity. So when I hit 40, 50, 60 years old, I don't want to be, I don't want to have to wear Dr. Scholl's. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right.
I don't want to be that broken down, because I've seen it happen to my family. I've seen it to happen to other people's family. Like when people get older, in America, I've noticed that majority of the time people don't age gracefully in a sense of their body and their ability to move. So I definitely think that's a big thing. And that's why I would say I definitely agree with you and the cheer doc. That's what I was talking to the other day on strength being like a very, very vital component. But I definitely think that mobility is to me, in my opinion, it trumps it, just simply because I could be as strong as I want to be, but if my strength is more than my mobility, I'm going to get hurt and I'm going to have to dial back, and then my strength, it goes down. So that's the only reason I would say that. But I want to ask you, because you never said that strength was the most important part, but I just want to ask you, what do you think is the most important thing when it comes down to health? If you had to say one thing, what would it be?
Oh, without a doubt, it would be nutrition. For sure. I mean, just, and it's really, it's getting to the point now where it's on one side, it's literally the most, it's the simplest thing in the world. But on the same note, it's the most complicating for people. Because there's just so much out there now. But honest, like if your goals are just to be healthy and live a long, happy life, like nutrition is without a doubt the most important part. Just because there is so much stuff out there that can, you know, set you back. I mean, so many people out there, they think they're making healthy choices and they're really not, just because of the way that things are marketed now and all the choices people have. And, but I mean, even what you eat, your diet can affect the way your body feels in the gym. I mean, your mobility, being properly hydrated, that can affect your like the pliability of your tissues and everything like that.
So, right.
I mean, it's without a doubt, it's in my opinion, the most important part of anything. I mean, most part of your training, most important part of your health, all of it. It all starts with what you put in your mouth. I mean, even if you know, if we're training twice a day, you know, I'm on a program right now where I'm cranking out some 2-a-days as well. And, you know, even if you did that every single day, which you're probably not doing 2-a-days, 7 days a week, but that's 14 workouts in a week. I mean, you're thinking you're eating at least probably 3, 4, 5 times a day. I mean, that's 30, 40 meals a week that you can make an impact on your health. And people don't look at it that way. You know, they don't take a fuel approach to the way that they eat.
So let me ask you this, because I had some pretty interesting, I guess you could say, an interesting argument placed on me, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around this because it just sounds crazy, but it makes so much sense.
All right.
So if, let's say you have a bowl of, I don't know, like let's say you have a serving of sweet potatoes, right?
Okay.
And let's say there's 400 calories of sweet potatoes in this bowl. And then right across from the street, sweet potatoes, you have, like, I don't know, what's something bad that has carbs, like a donut? So let's say you have a donut that's the same amount of calories. Now, what was proposed to me is that if you have these two things, your body does not see a donut and sweet potatoes. It sees carbohydrates. So it's going to break those down at the molecular level, and that's how your body processes it. That's pretty much how, you know, this theory is what I'm going to say was placed upon me, because I haven't done any research. That's why I have to say it's a theory. But to me, that didn't make any sense, because I feel like the way that your body processes different things is going to lead to different results. Because I notice a big difference if I eat, let's say, potatoes versus rice, like in the way that I feel, and, you know, how long it takes for me to get hungry after, which one makes me feel more sluggish. So what are your thoughts on, like, the basic principles of getting calories? Like, do you think it matters how you get your carbs or how you get your protein? Because if protein is protein, then is it okay to just eat, you know, just red meat all the time? I mean, if that's how your body's going to classify it, as this is protein and fat, then to me, it just didn't make any sense. But I just want to know what your thoughts are.
No, that's a great question. So, all right, I'm going to lay this out the best I can. So, using your example, you have 400 calories of sweet potatoes, you have 400 calories of a donut. Yes, okay, there's 400 calories in there, carbs. You know, it's essentially the if it fits your macros plan. You know, there's the diet cling out there that sticks to the if it fits your macros, meaning if your macros for your diet are you need 200 grams of protein, you need 300 grams of carbs, and you need 70 grams of fat, you can get those in any food sources as long as you stick to those macros. Now, if you have 400 calories of sweet potatoes and you have 400 calories of donut, yeah, okay, or you know, 200 carbs worth and 200 carbs worth, whatever. Yes, it's 200 carbs. But I look at the micros, the micronutrition. The sweet potato is going to be loaded with vitamin A. It's going to be loaded with all kinds of minerals and stuff that your body needs to function properly. The donut does not have that. The donut probably has chemicals in it. Probably has things that is foreign to your body, that your body's not going to run well off of. You know, it's like an example of, like, you know, how many people do you know who have eaten more than one slice of pizza in a row? How many people do you know that have eaten 3, 4, 5 slices of pizza back to back to back to back? Almost everybody that's ever eaten pizza has done that.
Right.
Meanwhile, how many people do you know has eaten 4, 5, 6 apples back to back to back to back? Mm. You know, calorie-wise, it's very close. It's probably very similar. There's actually probably more calories in the pizza, but you don't get as full from it because there's no real nutrition in that. You eat the pizza, that's empty calories. It's just calories for calories, like the donut is. It's just empty mm-hmm. calories. There's no nutrition in them. Meanwhile, the apple, you're getting fiber, you're getting vitamins, you're getting minerals. So your body is getting real nutrition from that apple. So your body can send the signal to tell your brain, like, we're getting all the nutrition we need, we don't need any more. So you don't eat 6 apples in a row because you don't have the desire to, because you're actually getting nutritionally dense food. Okay. You know, it's that's why it's almost impossible to overeat on broccoli, because it's so filling. You're getting tons of nutrition from a small amount. I mean,
right, but you can overeat on pizza because it doesn't have, like, your body just sees it as
exactly
carbs, and that's it. It doesn't have any nutrients. So you feel like you're missing something.
The micronutrition is way more important than the macronutrition. So your macros, that's your proteins, carbs, and your fats. That's what makes up your calories and all that stuff. But it's the micros. It's all the vitamins, all the minerals that your body needs to create tissues, to carry out bodily functions, to do things like this. You know, all the micronutrition is the stuff that makes your body tick. And when you don't get that, you know, you're eating that pizza, you eat a slice of pizza, there's no micronutrition in there. So your body's like, okay, it like sifts through it. Like, it's like, you know, just a bunch of garbage, and it's sifting through it. And they find that there ain't nothing in here. We didn't get any nutrition. We need more. So you just keep eating and you keep eating. I mean, that's why you can eat so much of that stuff without, you know, getting satiated. Meanwhile, you know, you eat a cup of vegetables, it's very filling because it's just so nutritionally dense. There's more fiber in it. You're just getting more bang for your buck. And that's why a lot of times, and people that want to lose weight and stuff, I just stick them on a diet of just real food, man.
Right.
Like nice, no process. Lean.
Let's get down just to the nitty gritty.
If your food's got an ingredients list on it, I really don't want you eating it. I mean, stick with just plain organic veggies, nice quality meats and proteins, and
right.
And I mean, you stick with that long enough, the weight's just gonna come off.
So, do you think that's like a wide problem in America that we have? Like, it's just people aren't getting the vitamins and the pure nutrition that they need. Like, they're getting the calories they need to survive, but as far as their body, they're not getting the nutrition that they need, vitamins, minerals, and everything else outside of the PCF. That's why I like to call it protein, carbs, fat. Yeah. Especially like when, because this is the reason I asked that. I was watching a different show. I think it was like the Joe Rogan podcast. And they were talking about vegans. Nothing against vegan. I've been trying to go vegan for a while just to see how I feel. It's really hard for me to do. But I, you know, all I've been eating is fish lately. So I'm weaning out. But it was interesting to me that there was a study shown that majority of vegans are B12 deficient.
Yep.
And the thing about that for me is it correlates with what you're saying when you say that the things that people are eating doesn't give them the actual micronutrition that they need. So do you think that that's something that's like wide upon the society we have as Americans, or, you know, our population here in America? Because when you think about it, there's so many different diets. There's so many different ways that people look at how you're supposed to eat. But when you really just dial in on everything, I just think that across the board, we're missing something. And it's definitely not the calories. Yeah. So if we're not missing the calories, and the people's argument is, okay, you have to hit your calories. And then the second argument that follows that up to kind of, I guess, push it forward is you have to hit your macros. Those have to be proportionate. Okay, so what it really dials down into is the thing that people, I feel like, in general are missing are those micronutrients, the things that are, you know, the fiber, the vitamins from actual plants that that you can't get from a pill, from popping a one-a-day vitamin, which I do that every night. I recommend everybody do it. It gives me energy the next day. But I just think that people need to get it from raw sources. Like you said, just clean food. But do you think that's something that is like a big problem?
Absolutely, I do. I mean, if it wasn't a problem, then 2/3 of the country wouldn't be, you know, obese or overweight. The reason we are overweight and we're obese is because we're not eating nutritionally dense food. We're eating those empty calories, so we overeat.
Is blowing my mind, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if people need to stop thinking about eating for calories, they need to start to think about eating for fuel. I mean, essentially, you are eating to fuel your body. The food you put in your mouth is your energy. It's just like filling up your gas tank. You know, you can put manure in your car's gas tank, and you know it's probably not going to make it very far.
Right.
But if you put clean, pristine gas in there, it's gonna function a lot more properly and a lot more efficiently. But it absolutely is the problem. I mean, all the processed food, everything that comes in a box, everything's always for convenience. The pops and all of the, I mean, that's probably even a bigger problem is people drinking the calories.
But do you think that people eat like that just because they're lazy? Because I think that's the case. I think that people would rather, like, this is the thing for me. Instead of cooking, a lot of people would rather either order food and have it brought to them. And if they don't have it brought to them, they would rather go out and get it just because they don't want to cook. They'd rather get dressed, get in the car, drive to a destination, and have somebody else cook for them. Like, that's the big thing that I feel like people aren't aware of, is that you just want somebody to cook for you. That's it. Like,
I think I think it's definitely part of being lazy. I think it's just the way society is going now that people really aren't necessarily thinking about these things. I mean, if you look, almost every problem that anybody could have now, there's a pill for it, you know, right. Like, so people, you know, that they get overweight, they try to find, you know, a supplement that they can help them lose weight. Or if they have high blood pressure, they'll take a pill to lower their blood pressure. Meanwhile, they don't think, you know, I could just maybe change the way I'm eating and move like a human being was made to move, and these problems would probably go away.
Right.
You know, so I think it's definitely laziness for sure. You know, everything is just so convenient now all the time. Like you said earlier, like you don't even have to freaking go and buy your groceries anymore. I mean, you can, you know, order them on your phone, pull up in the parking lot, they can just load your car. Like you don't even have to get up to walk around the grocery store anymore. So, I mean, I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but I think those are the big ones, you know, and just people just don't have the right mindset when it comes to food. You know, like as human beings, food was given to us to survive. Like we were meant to eat to just survive and get by. But now it's become a social thing. You go out and eat to celebrate. You go, you know, if you have a bad breakup with your boyfriend or girlfriend, then it's, you know, a pint of ice cream. You know, it's meant to make you feel better and taste good. And, you know, I think people's just mindsets with food has kind of gotten distorted a little bit. And that's not to say that eating clean and eating the way you're supposed to is supposed to not taste good. I mean, I eat a very good, clean, healthy diet and I enjoy it. I mean, I eat a lot of things that taste good. But people's taste buds get so warped from all the processed stuff that, you know, they can't even bring themselves to eat some broccoli or Brussels sprouts or something like that. You know, it's a mindset shift that needs to happen. And, you know, it's only getting worse. You know, it's not the way that the things are going, you know, and that's what I try to do, man. I try, like, I hold nutrition seminars at my facility all the time to try and kind of get people's mindsets and their perceptions about food and nutrition a little differently. You know, I rarely ever refer to it as diet. I always call it nutrition because, you know, diet implies to me like it's a short term thing. Like,
right.
You know, so it's just, it's a lot of things, man. But yeah, I agree. It's laziness, it's mindset. But you know, we gotta try and educate people the best we can.
Okay. So we're approaching 30 minutes. We're actually a little bit over, but that's okay. Just so people can follow you and gain awareness and insight from you, just give us a brief rundown of where we can find you at, what, you know, platforms you're on, if you have a website, who you are, and just where you're at in general.
Yeah. So, like you said, I mean, I'm Chris Roy. I'm in Rochester, Michigan. And I own my own strength and conditioning facility. It's called Steel Jack City. We have a website, steeljackcity.com. We're on Instagram, Steel Jack City. I think our Twitter is Steel Jack City. On Facebook, you know, you just look me up, Chris Roy. My username on Facebook to find me easier is like a C Roy. It's just C Roy, C hyphen Roy. But yeah, man, I've been in this, my own facility now for a few years. Then we just recently moved this past year, closer into Rochester where I wanted to be. But yeah, man, we're cranking it out, man, trying to help as many people as possible and getting this thing going. So,
okay. Sounds good.